steadily decreasing. The territory was not so very thickly settled. Perhaps a house every other mile or so, with large areas of corn and wheat land and fallow fields that at odd seasons had been sown to timothy and clover. Their particular house was part log and part frame, the log portion being the original home of Henry's grandfather, the new portion of now rain-beaten, time-worn slabs through which the wind squeaked in the chinks at times, and which several overshadowing elms and a butternut tree made picturesque and reminiscently pathetic, but a little damp, was erected by Henry when he was 21 and just married. That was 41 years before. The furniture inside, like the house outside, was old and mildewy and reminiscent of an earlier day. You have seen the whatnot of cherry wood, perhaps, with spiral legs and fluted top. It was there. The old-fashioned poster bed, with its ball-like protuberances and deep carving incisions. That was there also. A sadly alienated descendant of an early Jacobean ancestor. The bureau of cherry was also high and wide and solidly built, but faded-looking and with a musty odor. The rag carpet that underlay all these sturdy examples of enduring furniture was a weak, faded, leaden-pink-colored affair, woven by Phoebe Ann's own hands, when she was 15 years younger than she was when she died. The creaky wooden loom on which it had been done now stood like a dusty, bony skeleton, along with a broken rocking chair, a worm-eaten clothes press, heaven knows how old, a lime-stained bench that had once been used to keep flowers on outside the door, and other decrepit factors of household utility in an east room that was a lean-to against this so-called main portion. All sorts of other broken-down furniture were about this place, an antiquated clothes horse cracked in two of its ribs, a broken mirror in an old cherry frame, which had fallen from a nail and cracked itself 3 days before their youngest son, Jerry, died. An extension hat rack, which had had porcelain knobs on the ends of its pegs, and a sewing machine, long since outdone in its clumsy mechanism by rivals of a newer generation. The orchard to the east of the house was full of gnarled old apple trees, worm-eaten as to trunks and branches, and fully ornamented with green and white lichens, so that it had a sad, greenish-white, silvery effect in the moonlight. The low outhouses, which had once housed chickens, a horse or two, a cow, and several pigs, were covered with patches of moss as to their roof, and the sides had been free of paint for so long that they were blackish-gray as to color and a little spongy. The picket fence in front, with its gate squeaky and askew, and the side fences of the skate and rider type were in an equally run-down condition. As a matter of fact, they had aged synchronously with the persons who lived there, old Henry Rafe Snyder and his wife, Phoebe Ann. They had lived here, these two, ever since their marriage, 48 years before, and Henry had lived here before that, from his childhood up. His father and mother, well along in years when he was a boy, had invited him to bring his wife there when he had first fallen in love and decided to marry, and he had done so. His father and mother were the companions of himself and his wife for 10 years after they were married, when both died, and then Henry and Phoebe were left with their 5 children growing lustily apace. But all sorts of things had happened since then. Of the 7 children, all told, that had been born to them, 3 had died. 1 girl had gone to Kansas, 1 boy had gone to Sioux Falls, never to be heard of after. 1 boy had gone to Washington, and the last girl lived 5 counties away in the same state, but was so burdened with cares of her own that she rarely gave them a thought. Time and a commonplace home life that had never been attractive had weaned them thoroughly, so that wherever they were, they gave little thought as to how it might be with their father and mother. Old Henry Rafe Snyder and his wife Phoebe were a loving couple. You perhaps know how it is with simple natures that fasten themselves like lichens on the stones of circumstance. And